we all listen to Community Connections. You have been for the last 2 hours. We're going to change pace again. We've got a young lady who's been named as the 2024 Victorian Junior Ambassador for the Fred Hollows Foundation. So I thought we should find out a bit about her and also how she became the Junior Ambassador. So I've got Elka on the line, but I believe also her mum Kim and her dad Luke is listening in. So welcome, Elka.
Hello.
Can you speak up a bit louder, please?
Right.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I've just got to keep the levels up. Righto, Elka. So you've been, when were you named the Junior Ambassador?
November.
Oh, I'm relatively new. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So first of all, how did that come about? Do you know? Did somebody else nominate you for it, or?
Yes, my homeroom teacher nominated me because of all the work I do in our school community.
Right. So now that's what we want to talk about. So what did you do, or what do you do in the community that got this person to nominate you to become a junior ambassador?
I do a lot of, like, volunteer work around my school community. I'm a library leader helping shelve books around my breaks.
Yep.
I'm also a peer mentor helping people find friends in the schoolyard.
Oh, great. So what level are you at school, Elka?
Just finished year six.
You're in year six. So you're mentoring, you know, the prepsies or the ones and twos, or and how does that all come about?
Yeah, so it's during the breaks. I just walk around the school making sure that everyone has an activity to take part in.
Oh, that's terrific. And whose idea was that? Like, is it a school program you're involved in, or did you just take that on yourself?
It's a school program that one of the teachers have started, and they ask for volunteers to come out and help.
That's terrific, because very often in the past, if you drove past the school, you'd always see one child out just sitting by themselves. So you're in that position where you go along and introduce them to other people, or do you sit them and talk to them yourself?
We can do either. If they've got friends, we can help them find them, or we might introduce them to someone else in their year level or invite them to join what we're doing.
Ah, terrific. So when did you find out that you were going to be named as a junior ambassador?
When we got to Sydney.
Oh, so you got a letter inviting you to Sydney?
Yeah.
Very good. And that was in obviously November. Were you surprised when you were named as the person?
Yes, my parents knew, but they kept it a surprise.
Sometimes they're the best. Parents can be very sneaky people at times, can't they?
Yes.
So what made you, I mean, it's the school came up with a program, but what made you think to yourself, yep, I could do that, or what made you want to do it?
It's very important to me that everyone has something to do and they all have friends. It just means a lot to make sure that everyone else is having a good time.
Yeah, well, school's supposed to be a good place, and if people don't enjoy it, well, you know, it reflects badly on their learning. You know, it holds them back. So that's terrific. But at any stage of the game, well, I'm sure you won't have, because you're obviously an outgoing girl, you've never been felt in part of the school where you were just sitting by yourself that made you want to take this on?
No, I've got some really close friends, so luckily I've never been in that position, but a lot of people have been in my year.
Have they?
Yeah.
Do you find in the schools now that there are groups of, you know, particularly girls that just hang around together and try to exclude other people?
Yeah, there definitely are some girls like that and some other groups that just try and exclude others, but we want to make sure that everyone has people to hang out with.
That's terrific. So with these awards, when you is there, obviously you're for Victoria, were you the only one for Victoria, or were there others in Victoria, and were you...
I was the only one from my state to be chosen, but there were others nominated.
Oh, terrific. No, that's a really big achievement for you to have achieved that. apart from what you do at school, what sort of hobbies do you have, Elka?
I really enjoy playing basketball. I recently joined a rep team, meaning I get to do more trainings and games.
What's it called? Rep team, is it?
Yeah.
So what's that actually do? Like, is it a higher league or what is it?
It's a higher league.
Oh, that's terrific. All right, look, I've just got to take a quick break and I'll be back with more. So if you can just hang on there for a couple of minutes, I'll come back to you. To Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 19 minutes past 2 and we're still sitting on about 21 degrees. We're in for some warmer weather coming up this week. I should also mention I'll be back next week for the last show for the year with Community Connections. I'll still be here on the Sundays playing the rock and roll and that, but next week will be the final one for the year, and I believe we've got Santa Claus coming in to talk to us, so it should be a great week. And, of course, two or three other interviews. But we're talking to Elka. She's been named as the 2024 Victorian Junior Ambassador to the Fred Hollows Foundation. Sounds like she's doing a terrific job. So, Elka, have you decided yet? It's probably a bit early yet. What you'd like to do for a job when you've been through school?
No, not really.
Oh, that's fair enough. It's still, well, you've still got a long way to go yet, so you can got plenty of time to make a choice. Look, it's been terrific talking to you. I wish you all the well. I wish you well in what you do. I think it's terrific. School can be a very, very lonely person, a very lonely place for a person who feels as though they're not part of it. So I really think it's terrific what you do, and I wish you all the best for the future.
Thank you.
No worries. Thanks. It's been terrific talking to you. And for the listeners, we'll be at about 2:30, we'll be talking to the Fred Hollows Foundation to find out more about the award and how it all comes about.
Rocking around the Christmas
Brenda Lee made that song very popular back in the 1960s, Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, but that's an updated version by Cyndi Lauper, so I hadn't heard that one before. But anyway, we were talking to Elka, a very nice young lady who, or a girl who's been named the 2024 Victorian Junior Ambassador for the Fred Hollows Foundation. And I thought, well, let's find out a bit more about how we how people nominate, what they're looking for, and all that. So I've got Esther Auer on the line. Welcome, Esther.
Hi, Alan. Good to be here.
I'm glad to have you along too. Now, we've spoken to Elka and we've heard a bit about her life and how she came to, well, no, not how she became to, what she did to be involved with the Howard, the Fred Hollows Foundation. But tell me, when are these nominations open, and how do people, if there are people listening that have got other young people that they and what age group would people nominate, and how would they go ahead and nominate a Esther?
Yeah, sure. Maybe I'll just give a bit of background about the awards.
Absolutely.
Listeners, that might help. So as many of you might know, the Fred Hollows Foundation was established in the early 90s, just before Fred passed away. Yep. And it was set up to continue his legacy of bringing sight to the world. And Fred was an eye doctor, but he was also so much more than that.
He certainly was, wasn't he?
Yeah, and, you know, he was someone who really cared about the state of the world and of the community around him. And he was someone who took action, and when he saw something that could be fixed, he rolled up his sleeve. And that's what we seek to recognise through the Humanity Awards, as well as the Fred Awards. So the Humanity Awards are an annual award program that we run. We're specifically recognising Year 6 students in Australia who show practical care and compassion for the people around them. So exactly like the kinds of things that, you know, Elka talked about. She was a volunteer and a peer mentor at school. She said, you know, it meant a lot to her to make sure that people had friends around them. And she actually did something about it and took part in one of the programs at her school. And, you know, it's stories like this that show Fred's values of live on in communities all around Australia. So we really think it's just as important for students to be recognised for being, you know, kind, compassionate and full of integrity in their everyday lives as it is for them to be recognised for academic and sporting achievements. So that's how we started the Humanity Awards. It's been running for over 10 years now. We actually first started it in the ACT in 2012, and it was rolled out across Australia over a few years, and it's we've recognised over 3,000 students from across Australia since then, and we even run it in Hong Kong as well and recognise students over there. This year we were really fortunate to name a number of junior ambassadors from different states and territories, including Elka. And it was really fantastic that 7 out of 8 of our junior ambassadors this year were able to attend our awards ceremony just last month. So it was lovely to meet, you know, the students as well as their parents, who many of whom kept it a surprise, you know, until the very last minute for them.
Elka's was. Elka's parents never told her.
No, exactly. Yeah, I think it's a really nice thing to do for the students, not only to find out that you've been, you know, recognised in the awards, because we do recognise every person who's nominated, not just the junior ambassadors, but to keep that surprise element till the very end. So, yeah, the award nominations usually open around Fred's birthday in April, so they're not going to be open for a little while longer, but we do encourage any of your listeners, if they know a Year 6 student who's doing great things in their community, or someone who's in Year 5 but going on to Year 6 next year, nominate them when we open the awards, because we do think that it's really important to recognise and encourage young students to continue on with their acts of humanitarianism and kindness. And I think it's enormously inspiring for all of the other students in their schools and communities to see that these kids have been recognised. So
I totally agree.
Yeah, and it's very easy to do once we have nominations open. People just need to go to our website, hollows.org, and they'll be able to find the nomination form on there and fill it in. It's quick and easy.
Now, apart from the junior ambassadors, are there other levels of either ambassadors or awards available, Esther?
So as part of the Humanity Awards, we recognise everyone who's nominated. So we usually choose one student to be the state or territory junior ambassador, and the others are recognised in the ceremony, and they were called out by Gabby Hollows, our founding director, who is always really delighted to read the nominations every year. We do have an adult version of the Humanity Awards called the Fred Awards that we launched a few years ago during COVID, and that is the same in that it recognises adults, so anyone over the age of 18 who's doing great things in their community and who shows practical kindness to the people around them. We launched the Fred Awards because over the years we had a lot of feedback about the Humanity Awards being really inspiring to people, and they were asking us, oh, why don't you, you know, have one for adults? So we decided to expand it, and it was a no-brainer. It's been running for a few years now. It runs side by side with the Humanity Awards, so we usually host the ceremony together, and it means that the adults who are nominated are able to meet the kids and vice versa, and, you know, hear about the wonderful, you know, acts of kindness that they're showing to other people. And I think it's inspiring for the kids as well to know that they can continue on with what they're doing, and as they grow up they can pass on those values. They can, as they decide what they want to do with their lives, they can make a difference, I think, no matter where they are. So, yeah, we're really fortunate to have so many people who have put forward others around them. And, yeah, we encourage your listeners to think about someone who can be nominated for the Fred Awards as well, because the people that we recognise, they're not doing what they do for accolades. So a lot of them are too humble to, you know, to really call attention to what they're doing. So that's why it really relies on other people around them to recognise them for their hard work.
Esther, does the Fred Awards, do they open the same time in April?
Yes, exactly. And the nomination form for the Fred Awards is on our website as well.
Oh, that's terrific. Look, I've just got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more, and we'll find out just a bit more about the Fred Hollows Foundation, and maybe you'd like to donate to them, because it is a great an organisation, and I know that, and Esther will tell us a bit about it, that it doesn't cost a lot to cure some of these eye problems.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night with a pale as big as a cat. A tail as big as a cat. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Palace warm man.
Dylan and Do You Hear What I Hear? Certainly an updated version of something we used to listen to a long while ago. Esther, with the Fred Hollows, or the Fred Awards, is there any particular, like I know with the Year Sixes, you're looking for mainly school-based activities. With the Fred Awards, is there any sort of particular area that you like them to come from?
No, Alan, that's a good question. The kinds of people that we've recognised through the Fred Awards have been very diverse. So they've done all kinds of charitable things among their communities. So there's no particular place or area that we require people to come from. We'd like to think that you can show humanitarianism in all sorts of ways, and that's what, you know, we seek to recognise. It's that diversity of everyday humanitarianism. And, you know, I'll give you an example. One of the people that we named in our very first Fred Awards as a finalist was a woman called Gillian Alloway. She was an emergency medical dispatcher with the Queensland Ambulance Service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she, you know, in her day job, helped people through some of the worst moments of their lives. But she was actually nominated because of the extra mile that she went in caring for people above and beyond her role. So she she was always helping those around her in need. And when one of her friends was involved in a motorbike accident, she pulled together a bunch of friends, made sure that he had what he needed when he was in a coma in hospital, gathered some funds so that they could pay for his rent so he wouldn't lose his place. And yeah, it was that kind of thing that got Jill nominated. And it's those kinds of everyday acts of kindness that people consistently show others around them that we really love to recognize. We've of course had people, you know, who've done really big things as well nominated. A few of the people that we've named as finalists and humanitarians have set up their own charities and causes to raise awareness of things like suicide prevention and refugees. We think that those are really important as well. We don't require anyone to have, you know, set up their own charity. They could simply be helping others around them. And that's the kind of, you know, practical care and concern that Fred was a champion of that we really love to recognise in our communities.
That's terrific. Now, all these... Well, not so much a foundation, that's something different. But I know, Fred, it doesn't, I can't remember the figure, but it's not a huge cost to do some of these operations on the eye, was it?
That's right. So we say, you know, that it can be as little as $25
yep.
to your sight in some of the countries that we work. And so it doesn't cost a lot. And it's also, you know, it can be as simple as a 20-minute cataract surgery that can give someone their sight back and make a world of difference. In a lot of the countries that we work, not being able to see has a really big impact on people's lives.
Would do that anywhere, to be honest.
Yeah, anywhere. And particularly in some places where there might not be the infrastructure or the health systems to help people who have an eye condition. And that's why restoring sight, it leads to a ripple effect where it gives people back independence. It helps them to be able to go to school, to continue working and supporting their families. It also frees up time for the people that might need to care for them and, you know, take them around to places. And oftentimes in the places that we work, those people who are carers to those who are blind or vision impaired are, you know, young women or girls, which means that it takes them out of an education as well because, it, you know, they're not able to go to school. So there's a flow-on impact to blindness and vision impairment that a lot of people don't realise. And so we're working around the world to help provide those eye treatments, but also to prevent people from going blind to begin with. So early screening and detection of eye conditions is vital. Also looking at some of the barriers that are preventing people from accessing treatment. And, you know, there's so many. They could be geography. So some people live in really remote or rural parts of the world. And so it's hard for them to make their way to eye care services, or there may not be enough trained eye health workers who can detect eye conditions. So making sure that we're training enough people to treat those who need it, and also providing outreach services to people living in more remote parts of the world. That's really important, especially in societies that that have a more sort of agricultural lifestyle. We really want to bring eye care to people as much as possible, because we understand it can be a huge sacrifice for someone to take a day to travel a few hundred kilometres to visit this medical centre. So, yeah, it's a whole range of different factors that the foundation looks at to restore sight and prevent avoidable blindness.
So, Esther, with those, are you mainly training up, you go and train the people overseas so they can do the operations, or do you have people that go over and spend, you know, a month doing the operations from Australia or other countries?
Yeah, so we train people locally, because we want to build eye care that's sustainable. So we want communities to be able to continue the eye care after our role is completed. We want the skills to be in those countries. And, you know, Fred was of the belief that local communities knew their own people the best. So
absolutely,
it's the same kind of, it's the same, you know, ethos that we adopt as well. You know, there's always unique aspects to different communities, and I think being able to work with and train local workers means that we can actually address some of those barriers. So, yeah, we always try to train people locally where possible. They can speak the language, they understand the cultural norms and the customs, and it means that they can pass on the knowledge as well to future generations. Yeah. Eye health doctors and nurses.
And it also means that they can do a lot more, because if someone goes from Australia and does a month, it's limited to how many they can do, isn't it? Whereas if you're training locals, they can be doing them 12 months of the year, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that was one of the last things that Fred did, you know, before he died. He made this commitment to train a group of Vietnamese eye surgeons, because at the time in Vietnam, which was one of the first countries that the foundation started working in, there were really very few eye doctors to treat growing condition. Yeah. And so he had made a commitment to train, I think it was a few hundred eye doctors. And, you know, one of the last things he did before he died was to go back to Vietnam and fulfill that commitment. And I think seeing how, you know, Vietnam as a country has evolved over time, and the leaps and strides that they've made in eye care. Recently, they've just declared that trachoma, which is the world's leading infection cause of blindness, it's a really awful eye infection that causes a lot of pain to people who have it. That has officially been eliminated from Vietnam. That was declared. Yeah, just this year, which is really exciting. And it shows what we can achieve when we work with partners, we work with, you know, local health workers and, you know, other people to address avoidable blindness.
All right, Esther, if we've got people listening this afternoon who have got a few dollars, we know that times are tough, but maybe cut back on a Christmas present and say to the person, in your name, I've donated some money to the Fred Hollows Foundation. How are they going to do it, please, Esther?
Yeah, so we know that, you know, times are tough, and we appreciate every, you know, person who chooses to donate to us, you know, however big or small. And, you know, I might be biased, but I think that sight is one of the most precious gifts we can
absolutely.
Give.
Absolutely.
You know, I've personally witnessed some of the life-changing impacts that restoring sight to those who need it most can have. And, you know, every dollar goes a long way. So if any of your listeners are inspired to give, you can find out more on or make a donation on our website at hollows.org. And can I also say, Alan, that this past year we've already had lots of support from the Yarra Rangers. So
terrific.
Yeah, we have had over 1,000 locals donating more than $300,000 to the foundation this year from the Yarra Rangers, which is amazing. So I just want to put a big thank you to your listeners as well as the local community for supporting the Fred Hollows Foundation.
Well, people, you're listening to it. You've heard it. As you said, along the line too, it's not only the person that you, the site you're saving, particularly girls, they're often in some of these countries, they're the ones that lose the education, and then their whole life is nowhere near the potential it could be.
Yeah, it does. Giving sight, it's not just about giving sight back. It's about the longer term impact on a person's life. And yeah, I think people often don't realize, you know, how much sight enables someone to do until they start to lose their vision. And then they think, oh, yeah, I depended on my vision for so many things. It's one of those aspects that we take for granted, but we're really grateful for the many, many Australians and the many people in Victoria that have donated to the foundation over the past 30 years, because that's what's kept our going. That's what's helped us to reach even more people.
Esther, unfortunately, my time is fast coming to an end. I've got to get out the studio to let the next presenter in. But thank you for your time, and I hope we help raise some money. And also, remember the Fred Awards and the Junior Ambassador Awards open in April. Keep looking to hollows.org, and there are plenty of people out here doing plenty of great things every week, aren't they?
There sure are. Thanks so much, Alan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Esther. I'll be back on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade, and I'll be back next Wednesday with Community Connections for 3 hours. Part of one of those hours, we're going to have Santa come in and talk to us. So looking forward to it, and I'll be back next week. Bye.